A blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, over a background painted with fluffy clouds and a blue sky, a red diamond shape spins into view, followed by a blue one, then a yellow one. Each contains a word, Kiss Me Kate, copyright 1953. Starring Catherine Grayson as Lily Vanessi, Howard Keel as Fred Graham. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding by the U.S. Department of Education, described by Paula Broussard, Carrie Danahy, Stacey Perlman, Dutch Priest, and Justin Soule, read by Tony Pope. Titles continue. Ann Miller, Keenan Wynn, Bobby Van, Tommy Rawl, James Whitmore, Kurt Kasner, Bob Fosse, Ron Randall, Willard Parker. Screenplay by Dorothy Kingsley. Based upon the play produced on the stage by Lemuel Ayres and Arnold St. Suber. Music and lyrics by Cole Porter. Play by Samuel and Bella Spueck. Musical direction by Andre Previn and Saul Chaplin. Choreography by Hermes Pan. Print by Technicolor. Director of Photography, Charles Rauscher, ASC. Art Director, Cedric Gibbons and Yuri McCleary. Film Editor, Ralph E. Winters, ACE. Special Effects, Warren Newcomb. Costumes designed by Walter Plunkett. Orchestrations, Conrad Selinger and Skip Martin. Hairstyles by Sidney Gilleroff. Makeup created by William Tuttle. Produced by Jack Cummings, directed by George Sidney. Now, in an elegantly furnished apartment, a bound musical score titled Kiss Me Kate sits on a desk near a costume rendering. A dapper, dark-haired man in a monogram smoking jacket picks it up. Puffing his pipe, he smiles. As he carries the score to a grand piano, a valet looks up from dusting its keys.
Would you get the door, Paul?
The man places the score at the keyboard. The valet opens the door and takes a suited man's hat.
Hi, Paul.
Mr. Cole Porter, sir.
Cole, thanks for coming.
Oh, Fred.
Well, you're right on time. Everything's set. Keyboard's dusted and the piano's tuned.
That is a matter of opinion. By the way, what was wrong with my place?
Look, you want Lily to do the part, don't you?
Very much.
Well, then, psychologically, this is the proper setting.
Here? Where you live together?
Oh, Lily loved the apartment. Besides, she'll be dying to see if I've changed anything.
Well, even if she does come, there's still no guarantee she'll do the show.
Of course she'll do it. It's a good script, a great score, fat part.
You're forgetting one thing. Besides directing the show, you'll also be playing opposite her.
Most actresses would consider that an inducement.
Under the circumstances, I should think things might be a little strained.
Fred gazes at a portrait of himself.
Because we used to be man and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. That's archaic. We're adults. We're civilized.
Oh, forgive me.
Cole nods to the portrait.
I forgot.
Now, just one thing. When Lily gets here, start with a love song, So in Love. She's a pushover for a sentimental lyric.
Okay.
That's her ring. She always leans on the bell.
Paul opens the door, revealing a petite blonde in a fur stole.
Oh, hello, Paul. How's the bursitis?
Better, thank you, Mrs. Graham.
Lily Vanessi.
She greets Cole.
Oh, Cole, how wonderful.
Lily, darling.
She keeps her back to Fred.
Hello, Fred.
Hello, Lily.
You look wonderful, Lily.
Thanks. Peace of mind. It does wonders for you.
She eyes the couch as she sits.
You really ought to get rid of that spot.
Never. It's a keepsake. You threw the inkwell, remember?
I'm sure I had provocation.
Well, did you like the script?
Oh, I loved it.
Would you care to hear the score?
I'm dying to. That's the reason I'm here. The only reason.
Well, Fred, this is a sort of a musical version of The Taming of the Shrew. It's Shakespeare, you know.
Yes.
Well, let's see. Where should we start?
Why don't we start with a love song?
So in Love?
Yes, yes. It's great for Lily.
It's a duet.
Fred takes the sheet music.
Well, so it is.
As Fred takes his place next to the piano, Lily walks over and picks up her music.
Strange dear, but true dear, when I'm close to you, dear.
Lily glances uneasily around the apartment.
Fill the sky
framed photos of Fred and herself in other productions.
In love with my joy, delirious, when I knew that you could care.
So taunt me and hurt me.
Gaze into each other's eyes. Standing close, Fred and Lily stare at each other dreamily. She turns away.
It's beautiful, Cole. Just beautiful.
You sang it beautifully.
Thank you. But tell me something. Do you really think I could play the shrew?
You'd make a perfect shrew.
Lily glares at him.
What I mean is that it takes an actress of real stature, like Julia
sure.
Marlowe.
Constance Collier.
Yes, Connie Collier, Lynn Fontanne.
Great actresses.
And the costumes are great.
You'll love them, Lily.
For your entrance, we've picked red velvet. She looks wonderful in red.
I know she does. There's another good song in the score for Lily. I hate men.
Lily shoots Fred another look.
Now, here's what we had in mind for the wedding scene.
He shows two costume sketches.
Well, certainly tempting.
Then you'll do it?
It's difficult to refuse. I'll tell you what I'll do. Expecting someone?
No. Yes. Well, not just yet.
Another bell, Lena?
As Fred shifts uncomfortably, Paul answers the door.
Hello. Hi, sweetie. Am I late?
No, early.
Oh, that's great. I just dashed over between shows at the Copa.
The leggy brunette straightens her stocking seams.
I hope you don't mind my legs.
She wears a skimpy beaded costume.
On the contrary.
Cole eyes Fred.
Oh, this is Miss Lane, the young lady I was telling you about.
Telling me about?
You know, for the part.
Part?
Bianca.
The younger sister. Younger?
Only in the play.
Oh, of course. Bianca.
Gee, it's a real thrill meeting both of you. I just love your songs, Mr. Porter. And I'm just nuts about your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
Lily smiles coyly at Lois. Across the room, Lois opens a drawer of bottled beverages.
Oh, sweetie, we're out of ginger ale. Anybody want a drink? What do you have?
Nothing, thank you.
Not right now.
Oh, well, if nobody wants anything, how about doing the number?
Number?
You know, the big one I'm going to do in your new show, the Too Darn Hot number. That must be the boys.
Cole taps Fred on the shoulder.
Hiya, fellas. Come on
Didn't
in.
Did you tell her the number's out?
Well, not just yet.
You did tell her she could play Bianca.
Fellas, get over by the piano, will you?
The musicians set up.
Mr. Porter, would you mind sitting here? And Fred and sweetie, you sit over there.
Cole and Fred sit on either side of Lily on the sofa.
There, that's a square deal. Okay, go, boys, go.
Lois opens a black lace fan.
Go, girl, go.
In her fringed hot pink costume, she swivels her hips.
It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight.
Crazy, man.
I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot.
It's
wearing long hot pink gloves, she fans her face, then dances past Cole, Lily, and Fred.
With my baby tonight. And hitch the woo. With my baby tonight.
She caresses Fred's chin.
I'd like to coo with my baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But sister, you fight my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot.
As Lois flounces, Lily smirks at Fred.
According to the latest report, every average girl you know much prefers her lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Atom, for his natum is not. 'cause it's too, too, too darn hot.
She approaches a mirror and slides off one glove. She throws it at Cole, who grins. She ties the other glove around her hair.
Well, do it!
She unties a scarf, then steps up on the coffee table. She throws the scarf to Fred. Lily smirks. Lily catches Lois's pink choker. Poker-faced, she hands it to Fred. Punctuating the music with her outstretched arms, Lois hops from the marble coffee table to an end table, then back. She rapidly hammers the heels of her ankle strap shoes, then does fast turns atop the coffee table. Jumping to the floor, she picks up the black fan. Grinning, she steps onto the opposite end table, then dances across the console table behind the sofa. As Lily stares stoically ahead, Lois extends her leg in a side lunge, then kicks a vase off the table, then a newspaper. She jumps back to the floor.
Go, girl, go!
With her back to the full-length two-panel mirror, Lois faces the bongo player. Behind her, two reflected images dance. Pointing with her fan, she changes directions and then does tapping pirouettes in place. The beaded fringe on her short costume glimmers in the light as she whips around. Fanning herself, Lois gazes seductively at us as she sidesteps. She closes her fan, then opens it again. Lois runs her hand along the back of her neck as she edges closer. Taking long strides, she moves across the floor, then Shanae turns around the room. Whipping her fan open with a flourish, she grins.
Delightful. Gee, thanks, honey. How was I, Mr. Porter?
Wonderful. Great.
Gee, thanks, fellas. Take
There's
10.
There's a slight problem. We've taken the number out of the show.
Out of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you can't, Mr. Porter. Sweetie promised it to me.
Lois approaches Fred.
He promised faithfully. You crossed your heart.
He well, always does.
It didn't fit, honey.
There's no place to put it. See?
No.
Lois shifts her gaze to Lily.
Hey, wait a minute. Now it's coming through to me. She wants to do the number. You gave it to her.
Well, that's absurd. I wouldn't dream of displaying my leg.
What's the matter with your legs? Are you not neat?
Why don't you ask Fred?
Ladies, please.
On second thought, gentlemen, I don't really think I ought to do the show. It might interfere with my honeymoon.
Honeymoon?
Yes, I'm being married, you know. Gee, congratulations!
Lois pumps Lily's hand.
Sorry, Cole. Goodbye, sweetheart. Oh, let her go. I can play Kate. I can do the part. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ear.
Great idea. You'd be wonderful in the part.
In the hall, Lily overhears.
Now look, Fred, I... Oh, sure, fine. I'll get the sketches.
Here, read the script. I'll start coaching you tomorrow. You
look As they flatter Lois, Cole and Fred look expectantly to the door. Fuming, Lily returns.
Now, just a minute. What do you mean, giving my part to someone else?
No, Lily, you're right. Nothing must stand in the way of your honeymoon.
Oh, no, you don't. You're not talking me in and out of a hit show, Frederick Graham.
They fight over the script.
Wait a minute, sweetie, give that part
ladies,
to me.
Ladies, ladies.
He gives each half. Now, a theater marquee reads, Kiss Me, Kate, starring Fred Graham and Lily Vanessi, opening tonight. On stage, the cast rehearses.
Final curtain calls. Back at 7 sharp, Solly.
The players disperse.
First call, Patricio, Catherine, and Bianca. Miss Vanessi, Miss Lane.
Lois and Lily take Fred's hands as they practice bows. As the threesome moves downstage, Lois grins, flourishing her skirt. Lily nods glumly.
Could you manage a smile, Miss Vanessi?
She gives him a big, toothy smile.
All right, let's have a nice curtsy, ladies.
Lois curtsies deeply. Lily falters in her fitted dress.
We'll have to do better than that, Mr. Nessie. Once again, please, watch Miss Lane.
It's really very simple.
It must be.
You just raise your skirt and...
Oh, I forgot. Your knees.
There's nothing wrong with my knees.
Lily curtsies low.
Thank you. Let me step out now, Mr. Nessie. Second call, Bianca and the three suitors.
A lanky guy and a blonde guy take Lois's hands.
What the devil's that partner of yours? Vicentio! Vicentio!
I'm Bill Calhoun!
Lois motions the two guys off.
Bill Calhoun!
I think he went to the chiropodist.
Oh.
How about doing, sweetie? I mean, Mr. Graham.
Oh, very
Lily
nice.
Eyes the pair.
Run along to your dressing room and just relax until curtain time. Let your mind go blank.
Whatever thou sayest.
She stares at him dreamily, then flounces off. Lily follows.
One moment, Miss Finessi. I'd like to run over your bow again. You were a bit awkward, you know.
Lily whips around, then does a graceful curtsy.
You louse!
On stage, everybody!
Fred furrows his brow and shakes his head. As Lois watches from a staircase, an old stagehand approaches and whispers in her ear.
Bill, where is he?
He's a prisoner of the Star Cab Company.
Lois glances around, then tiptoes to the stage door, where Bill faces a cabbie and smokes.
Shoot you for it. Double enough.
Well, how much is it this time?
$2, lady.
She pulls cash from her garter. With his tongue, Bill hides his lit cigarette inside his mouth and kisses Lois. As he resumes smoking,
thanks,
she throws the cigarette.
Honey, you're the cutest piggy bank in town.
He kisses her again, then strides in.
Yeah.
Backstage, Bill and Lois duck behind a corner as Fred passes.
You're sure the donkey's housebroken?
They guaranteed it.
Well, if anything happens, you're responsible.
As they walk on, Bill heads upstairs.
Bill Calhoun, have you been gambling again? How much did you lose?
$2,000.
$2,000? You haven't even got $2.
Signed an IOU.
An IOU?
But not with my name.
Whose name did you sign?
Your boyfriend's. Frederick Graham.
Oh, Bill, no. This is our big chance. Do you want to work nightclubs the rest of your life?
What's wrong with nightclubs?
Nothing, if you like smoke, noise, and drunks.
You thought they were great till you met this Hamlet.
Mr. Graham is a gentleman and a scholar. He's merely, culturing me.
He stares incredulously.
Besides, he's helping to further our careers.
Whose? Yours or mine?
Both.
Oh, Lois, dear.
She pushes Bill out of sight.
Yes, sweetie?
Has that hoofer shown up yet?
No, he hasn't, sweetie.
Well, when he gets in, tell him over to see him.
Oh, yes, I certainly will, sweetie.
Lois trots up a nearby flight of stairs. Now on the rooftop, costumes hang from a clothesline.
Bill? Bill Calhoun? Where are you?
As Lois looks around, Bill slides down a pipe, landing behind her. He holds out his arms.
Oh, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
He puts his arms around her and nuzzles her neck.
Honest.
Yeah, if you only meant it.
Why can't you behave? Oh, why can't you behave?
He reads the racing news.
After all the things you told me, and the promises that you gave.
She yanks away his pencil.
Oh, why can't you behave?
Bill wears goofy glasses and false teeth.
Why can't you be good and do just as you should?
He holds out a pair of dice and she chucks them.
Won't you turn that new leaf over so your baby can be your slave?
Doing a magic trick, Bill pulls a die from her hair. As she steps away, he walks a crack in the roof like a tightrope. They sit side by side.
There's a farm I know near my old hometown, where we two could go and try settling down.
As she points to her ring finger, he grimaces and gets up.
There I'll care for you forever, 'cause you're all in the world I crave. But why can't you?
At the clothesline, he stands behind a showgirl's costume and poses. As Lois frowns, Bill walks jauntily at her side. He taps, then does a double turn in the air. Landing on one knee, he throws the dice. Lois walks away. Bill takes her hand and twirls her back. As they dance, he lifts her. Her lacy petticoats billow under her skirt. Bill executes a high kick, then hands her a betting marker. She stomps his foot and tears up the paper. Now, the two leap across the rooftop and head toward an upright pole with horizontal bars at its center. They dance around the pole, then swing under the bars. Dancing over to an elevated platform, they face each other in a challenge dance. Lois bumps him off with her hip. He recovers and joins her again. She bumps him off. Holding her gloved hands like a boxer, she playfully jabs him. Staggering comically, he falls to his knees, then cartwheels forward onto the roof. Swinging his fists, he kicks his legs in opposition, then cartwheels back without using his hands. He pirouettes in the air, then lands in a split. Back on his feet, he runs to the roof's edge and dances along the narrow ledge. Lois watches nervously as he totters. Waving his arms for balance, he makes two jumps across the roof, springing up on each landing as if on a trampoline. Now, he runs up a ramp. Grabbing a rope, he swings out toward us, his feet reaching past our view. Back on the top of the ramp, he pirouettes in place, then slides down the ramp on his feet. He springs over to Lois and leans in for a passionate kiss. She looks off, grinning. Now, a lit marquee reads Kiss Me Kate alongside a full-sized image of Lily dressed as the Shrew. Now, our view shifts to Fred's dressing room window, then next door to Lily's window. As she brushes her long auburn wig, she grins at the flashing marquee. Fred leans out and smiles at the sign, then frowns at Lily.
Calling me a louse, and on stage!
Sorry. I should have waited. You louse!
She slams her window shut. As Fred does the same, Lily slides up. Lily sits at her vanity. Fred opens the door connecting their dressing rooms.
It's customary for a gentleman to knock.
I'm not a gentleman. I'm a louse, remember?
As he enters, Lily files her nails.
Lily, will you stop that infernal squeaking? You know what gets on my nerves.
What do you want me to do? Bite them off? Who is it?
It's Suzanne. I've got your dinner tray.
Take it away.
What do you mean, take it away?
You know you can't eat before a performance. It gives you indigestion.
It's my stomach, thank you. Bring it in, Suzanne.
You not burp during my love scenes. Take it away.
Suzanne, don't you dare.
Let's make up our mind, shall we?
It's made up.
Lily resumes filing her nails.
Well, pick it up. It's probably that cowboy.
He is not a cowboy. He's a cattle baron.
Cattle baron? Huh. What's his crest? A hamburger smothered with onions?
Hello? Oh, hello, Tex, darling. I was expecting you at the theater. Oh, you're still at the stockyards.
What are they getting for New York cuts?
How dare you? Tex, darling, I apologize. This... $1.30 a pound?
Lily glances at Fred, who smirks.
Oh, but I wanted you to come to the theater tonight, darling. Oh, the steer are restless.
Lily's eyes widen. So do Fred's.
Yes, love. I'm blowing you two kisses. Bye, darling.
As Lily hangs up the phone, Fred blows two kisses into the air. Fuming, Lily strides to her vanity and puts on a ring with a stone the size of a walnut. As she flaunts it, Fred's grin fades.
All right, I give up. What is it? Headlight of a locomotive?
It's my engagement ring.
Well, I hope you'll be very happy.
Thank you. Do you know what day this is, Fred?
Hmm?
Our anniversary.
What anniversary?
the first anniversary of our divorce, and I have a little remembrance for you.
She takes a small object from a drawer and hands it to Fred.
Well, it's just what I wanted, a cork.
From our first bottle of champagne.
She sits on a fainting couch.
Our wedding breakfast?
Mm-hmm. In my apartment.
You mean that one room of yours over the Armenian bakery?
You should complain. You didn't even have a room.
Why do you think I married you?
He snuggles up to her.
That was the season we played the Barter Theater in Virginia.
Yeah.
And they gave you a hand.
Well, we lived on it all winter.
And I got a job reading tea leaves at the Automat, remember?
And I demonstrated shaving soap at the Five and Dime.
Lily sits back against his chest.
That's how I spent my honeymoon. At the Five and Dime, watching you shave.
Were we married then?
Yes, Mother was staying with us.
How could I forget?
It was right after we closed in that Viennese operetta, Late in Switzerland. Only the costumes were Dutch.
Oh, sure, now I remember. I was understudying the lead.
Lily sits up and glares.
No, dear. We were both in the chorus.
You know, there was a waltz in that show. Something about a bar. Yeah!
Fred stands and shoves his hands in his robe pockets.
Madame, you're ravishing tonight. You make me the happiest of men.
Oh, your highness, you overwhelm me.
Wunderbar!
Wunderbar! A favorite star above.
What a bright shining star!
Like a love, it's wunderbar.
Fred escorts Lily to the open window.
Gazing down on the Jungfrau
from our secret chalet for two.
Let us drink lips and mine
in the moonlight of the
to the joy of a dream come true.
Fred gets on one knee and takes Lily's hand.
Wunderbar.
What a perfect night for love.
On a stool, Lily spreads her arms and blocks his face.
Why, it's truly wunderbar.
He sets her down and blocks her face with his arm.
We're alone and hand in love.
As Fred lifts his arm again, Lily kicks him.
Why, it's more than wunderbar.
Say you care, dear,
for you madly.
Say you long, dear,
for your kiss.
Do you swear, dear,
darling, gladly.
Life's divine appear.
When you're mine, dear.
She sits on his knee.
Oh, wunderbar, wunderbar.
With our favorite star above.
What a bright shining star.
Like our love, it's wunderbar.
They waltz into Fred's dressing room, then out into the hall. As they dance, Lily's long robe twirls. Fred whispers in her ear, and Lily covers her mouth. As she steps away, Fred yanks her out of sight into her dressing room. They reappear in Fred's dressing room doorway, loop back through the hall, and disappear into Lily's open door again. As they come around a third time, Fred carries Lily. In Lily's room, Fred dips her and gives her a quick kiss. Lily slips her arms around Fred's shoulders, and their lips meet in a passionate kiss. As their lips slowly part, Lily averts her gaze from Fred's and adjusts the collar of her robe.
It was a good number, wasn't it?
I always liked it.
What happened to us, Fred?
I don't know.
Whose fault was it?
Well, could have been your disposition.
It might have been your ego.
The stage manager approaches the open door.
15 minutes.
Smiling at the couple, he quickly leaves. Fred and Lily stare into each other's eyes.
We'd better get dressed.
As Fred goes to his dressing room, he takes the cork from his pocket. He notices two men facing his mirror. One man, Lippy, wears a pinstripe suit and black fedora. He and his buddy, Slug, pat their chins.
I don't like my face.
Neither do I.
Who are you?
Hey, fine-looking fella.
Clean cut.
What are you doing backstage?
What a figure.
What a profile.
Well, gentlemen, I'm deeply touched by your admiration,
what
but...
What diction? Very elocutionary.
And he does not spit when he talks. Gentlemen, this is all very flattering, but I received the public after the performance, not before.
Slug puts on brass knuckles.
If I do something to him, I cry like a baby.
Gentlemen, come back after the performance. I'll be very happy to present you with my autograph then.
We already got your autograph. That's why we're here.
Hmm?
A little matter of an IOU. Here it is. Two G's. Mr. Hogan, that's our employer. He regards this as a debt of honor.
Yeah.
How's about it, Mr. Graham?
Well, you're crazy. Here, let me see that.
Slug grabs Fred's wrist.
Well, that's not even my signature.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at you, Mr. Graham. You just signed us this afternoon after quite a little game over to the hotel. We wasn't there.
No.
Of course, we got Mr. Hogan's word for it.
You're really crazy. I've been in this theater since 8 this morning.
Ah, he forgot.
Yeah, well, that's human beings for you.
Once a man signs an IOU, everything goes black.
Yeah, the doctors call it, magnesia.
We cure it.
Gentlemen, would you mind leaving?
Slug lunges for Fred.
This is any virile.
Lippy stops him.
And now we'd like to express our best wishes for a magnificent opening and success on the brilliant talent that you so richly deserve. I copied that on a Western Union.
Well, heartiest felicitations. I made that up myself.
Yeah. Look, Mr. Graham, try and jostle your memory.
Yeah, we'll be back, buddy.
Lippy pushes Slug into the hall.
Come on, not now, not now. How many times I gotta tell you?
Paul
I'll let you
carries
know
a flower box.
They're bringing flowers. The funeral ain't till tomorrow. All right, come on, will you? What's the matter with you?
Paul approaches Lily's door.
Yes?
Good evening, Suzanne. From the master.
Oh.
Suzanne takes the flowers.
Darling.
Hmm?
Here are some flowers. From him.
You see, Suzanne, he didn't forget.
She opens the box.
Violets and roses. My wedding bouquet.
She holds it to her cheek.
You need some food. I better get back your dinner tray.
No, Suzanne, I've made up my mind. I won't touch a thing. If he wants me to go hungry, I'll go hungry.
When you can eat, eat. Ma chère, je ne vous comprends pas alors. Le cœur, ça ne me dit rien du tout. Oh, la, 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 la,
as Suzanne leaves, Lily's smile fades. Dressed in a costume, a bright red tunic and tights, Lily holds her bouquet at her chest and starts for the door. As she catches a reflection in a full-length mirror, she faces it and does a bridal march, putting her feet together between each step.
So taunt me and hurt me. Deceive me, desert me. I'm yours till I die. So in love, so in love, so in love with you, my love.
Lily removes her engagement ring and sets it aside. Gazing at the flowers in her bouquet, Lily slumps down on the arm of her chair. Our view leaves her window and moves next door. Paul opens Fred's window. Inside, Fred wears a bright red tunic and tights similar to Lily's. Stroking his fake goatee, Fred studies his hairline.
Oh. You see, thing is creeping back.
No, no, sir. We're keeping it at bay, sir. Oh,
Paul hands Fred a wig.
Thank you. Did you deliver the flowers?
Yes, sir.
Did you put the note in?
Oh, yes, sir.
Good. You took them upstairs to Miss Lane personally, of course.
Upstairs, sir? I thought they were for...
He points next door.
Miss Finessi?
Oh, you driveling idiot. Do you know what you've done?
Yes, sir. I've lost you up, sir.
Don't use that word.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Lily enters.
Oh, Fred.
Now, Lily.
Fred,
I can explain everything.
So thoughtful of you, darling.
You mean you didn't read the card?
Card? Was there a card? I didn't see it.
Now, Lily, you know I'm allergic to roses. Give me...
The stage manager enters.
On stage and good luck.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, Fred. I can't. I just can't.
Oh, no.
My cheeks are burning, and my hands are freezing, and my tummy...
You ate. Lily, you had something to eat.
No, I didn't really. I didn't...
You're not going to waltz.
Yes, I...
No, you can't. I won't let you. Come on.
Mother Lily, I found the card that came with the flowers.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne.
No, there isn't time. Look, I'll tell you what I wrote. To Lily, the only woman I've ever loved, the only artist I've ever worshipped. Now let me have the card, and let's go.
Did you really mean that, Fred?
Oh, darling, with all my heart.
And that's where it's going, right next to mine.
She tucks the card inside her collar.
I'm not nervous now, and I'm not going to whoops. And I'll never call you a louse in public again. Never.
You will, my sweets. You will.
Now, inside the theater, the lights dim. The curtain opens, revealing two page boys carrying a sign, The Taming of the Shrew. Two jesters throw confetti and run to Bill, Lois, Lily, and Fred. Their tunics match, and each wears a hood with a long liripipe tail.
A troop of strolling players are we. Shakespearean portrayers are we. We're just a simple band who roams about the land, dispensing fodder of frivolity. We're folk who give distraction, are we. No theater guild attraction, are we.
A backdrop scrolls behind them, showing sketches of Italian cities which glide by.
Around the map of little Italy.
They stride on a moving walkway.
In Venice, we next wait, Verona, then on to Cremona.
Lots of laughs in Cremona.
Our next stop is Parma, that stingy, dingy Venice. Then Mantua, then Padua, then we open again.
Where?
They run in place on the moving walkway, then hop off. A woman in a revealing dress glides by on the walkway, and Fred joins her.
That's a quail in Cremona.
Our next jump is Parma, then heartless Venice, then Mantua, then Padua, then we open again. Where? In place!
As Lily and Lois walk in place, Fred and Bill walk around them. Each time the men step behind, the ladies turn and bow to them. Now the painted backdrop speeds up. As the cities whisk by, the dancers swing their arms and they quicken their pace. They hop off. Now, alone on stage, Fred throws a ball, which erupts in a cloud of red smoke. As the smoke clears, Fred stands wrapped in a checkered cloak. Behind him, a spotlight shines on a pudgy man.
This is the tale of Battista Minola, a merchant of old Padua who is firmly resolved not to bestow his younger daughter, Bianca.
Lois sits at a harp.
Till he canst find a husband for the elder, Catherine. A shrew.
Lily stands on a balcony. Battista looks up.
If I could only find a man who would thoroughly woo her, wed her, and bed her, and rid my house of her.
The fair Bianca has three stalwart suitors. Gremio, Hortensio, and Lucentio, who would fain take the maid to wife.
The suitors watch Bianca.
I burn, I pine, I perish, till I alone can wed the fair Bianca.
Sweet Bianca, she sings as sweetly as a nightingale. She looks as clean and fresh as morning roses newly washed with dew.
To my father's pleasure humbly I subscribe. My books of music shall be my only company. On them to look and practice by myself.
She strums the strings of her harp, then freezes.
Ah, me. A pity Catherine were not of a gentler, milder mold. But she is shrewd and forward beyond all measure. An Axum brawling school.
Kate holds her chin high.
Bianca is my father's treasure. She must have a husband, and for love of her, I must dance barefoot on her wedding day.
Kate throws down a potted plant.
Catherine, for shame. Think on thy poor father.
Oh, whatever father thus grieved as I.
His grief will soon be put to rout. A happy wind blows me, Petruchio, to Padua from old Verona. For I am born to tame this Kate. Kate the Cursed. A title for a maid, of all titles, the worst.
As Petruchio leaves, the stage lights come up on an Italian plaza. Townspeople, including Bianca, Baptista, and the suitors, sit frozen. Now the characters move and continue about everyday activities. At her harp, Bianca cries into a handkerchief. She rushes to Baptista.
Father!
As Baptista leaves, the suitors go to her side.
Poor child, she weeps.
What is it, sweet Bianca?
I'm a maid. Who wants to marry?
Any Tom,
Dick, or Harry?
Any Harry, Tom, or Dick?
As Bianca sits, the suitors circle her. They look at each other, then at Bianca. Hortensio sits beside her.
I've made a haul in all the leading rackets, from which rip roaring rich I happen to be. And if thou wouldst attain the upper brackets, marry me, marry me, marry me.
Lucentio sidles up to her.
My purse has yet to know a silver lining. Still lifeless is my wifeless family tree. But if for love unending thou art pining, marry me, marry me, marry me.
Gremio faces her.
I come to thee a thoroughbred patrician, still spraying my decaying family tree. To give a social lift to thy position, marry me, marry me, marry me, marry me,
marry me,
marry me,
marry me,
marry me,
marry me,
marry me.
I'm a maid who would marry and will take with no qualm any Tom, Dick, or Harry, any Harry, Dick, or Tom. I'm a maid mad to marry and will take double quick any Tom, Dick, or Harry, any Tom, Harry, or Dick.
Bianca lifts her skirt and starts up a staircase.
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Howdy, Pop.
Howdy, Mom.
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Art thou Harry, Dick, or Tom?
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Howdy, pal.
Howdy, Chick.
Art thou Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Call me Tom, Harry, or Dick.
I'm a maid,
maid who would marry and would no longer tarry.
I'm a maid who would marry, may my hopes not miscarry. I'm a maid mad to marry and will take double quick any Tom, Dick, or Harry. Any Tom, Harry, or Dick. A dick, 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 a dick.
The suitors form a semicircle around Bianca and get to one knee. Bianca does a tap dance, then sits on Hortensio's thigh. A kiss on the cheek knocks him over. Now all the suitors jump, and their bending legs briefly form diamond shapes. They follow Bianca downstage. As Bianca poses, Hortensio does a sprightly leap for her. Swinging his arms like a windmill, he twirls toward Bianca and kneels. Gremio dances for her. Keeping one foot on the ground, he kicks the other like a pendulum and pivots between Bianca and Hortensio. Now, Lucentio leaps in. He spins, coming to rest on both knees. He thrusts his folded hands toward Bianca, then does a high spinning jump. Now the suitors line up, and Bianca twirls past, her skirt whirling above her knees. Clapping their hands, all four dance in unison. Lucentio pulls Bianca into a jitterbug-like dance. They spread their arms wide. Now Bianca positions all three suitors, standing each upright.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry? Any Tom, Harry, or Dick?
Now the suitors back away as Bianca reaches out to grab them. As she races after Hortensio, he jumps into Gremio's arms. The men run around a decorative fountain. Bianca gives chase and grabs a large net. Smiling, she stops and waits for the suitors, who come running around to her. She swings the net at Lucentio. The men hurry back around the fountain in the opposite direction. Lounging on the fountain's edge, Bianca drums her fingers. Now, Bianca crouches in front of the fountain and each suitor does a spread eagle over her. All four dancers form a line and tap their feet energetically. The men stop and watch Bianca's bare legs. In unison, they do trenches. Leaning forward in the exaggerated strides, they swing their arms and kick their legs back. Keeping up the move, they circle around each other. Now, they cluster and spread their arms wide. Now, Kate peers from Baptista's house.
Bianca! Bianca!
She scowls at her sister from the open door. As Bianca goes to her house, she turns around and throws a short-stemmed rose to the men. The suitors chase each other around, juggling the flower between them. Hortensio throws it over Lucentio's head. Gremio catches it and hands it amiably to Lucentio, who smiles and rests upon the fountain's edge. Now Fred, wearing a blue cape and red Italian hat, rides on stage astride a mule.
Patricio!
Hey, Lucentio!
What happy wind blows you to Padua from old Verona?
Bertruccio dismounts.
Such wind as scatters young men through the world to seek their fortunes farther than at home. And you?
I came to study.
He rolls his eyes and pats Lucentio's back.
I am glad that you thus combine your resolve to suck the sweets of sweet philosophy, the mathematics, and the botany.
He briefly takes the rose.
All to them as your stomach serves. No profit grows where is no pleasure taken. In brief, sir, study. As for me,
I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua. If wealthily, then happily in Padua. If my wife has a bag of gold, do I care if the bag be old? I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
Bertruccio leads onto a passing handcart full of grapes and wine casks. He eats a grape.
I heard you mutter, sounds a loathsome lad you are. I shall not be disturbed one bit, if she be but a quarter wit. If she can only talk of clothes, while she powders a doggone nose. I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
As Petruchio steps off the cart, the men of the village clear a tavern table and he sits on it.
I heard you say, gadsoaks, completely mad you are. Wouldn't give me the slightest shock if her knees now and then should knock, if her eyes were a wee bit crossed, were she wearing the hair she lost. Still a damsel I'll make my dame, in a brawl they are all the same. I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
In a spotlight, the lights dim. Petruccio doffs his cape and twirls it around.
I heard you say, good dad, but what a cad you are. Do I mind if she fret and fuss? If she fume like Vesuvius? If she roar like a winter breeze on a rough Adriatic seas? If she scream like a teething brat? If she scratch like a tiger cat? If she fight like a raging boar? I have often been a boar before. I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
Two villagers carry him on their shoulders to Baptista's home.
Not to mention money, money for a rainy day. I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
With a wide grin and one arm extended, Petruccio bows before the men. Gremio turns toward Hortensio.
This gentleman has happily arrived.
Lucentio approaches them.
Petruccio is too much my friend. I cannot wish him a shrewd, ill-tempered wife.
But she is rich and young and beauteous.
But shrewd and forward, so beyond all measure that were my state far poorer than it is, I would not wed her for a mine of gold.
Peace, Lucentio. Thou knowest not gold's effect. And therefore, if thou know one rich enough to be Petruccio's wife, tell me her father's name and 'tis enough.
Her father is Baptista Manola. Mm. Her name, Catherine, elder sister of the fair Bianca.
Bianca!
That is she, an irksome, brawling scold.
Think you a little din can daunt mine ears? Have I not in my time heard great lions roar? Have I not heard great ordnance in the field and heaven's artillery thunder in the skies?
Petruccio rests his chin upon his hand.
Then you will woo this wildcat?
Done. Go you to old Baptista and say I have a husband for Catherine.
Lucentio goes.
Let's quaff carouses to this gentleman.
Lucentio heads to Baptista's door. Before he can knock, it opens.
Sister, sister, rob me not. Content me in my discontent.
Thou hilding of a devil spirit. Why didst thou wrong her, did ne'er wrong thee?
Her silence flouts me, and I'll be revenged.
Oh, was ever father thus grieved as I?
A word with you, kind sir.
Importune me no further, for how deeply I'm resolved, you know.
Lucentio whispers to Baptista.
Whisper louder.
The older man's eyes widen.
Oh, that is news. Good news. Come in, Lucentio.
Lucentio, thou meacock wretch.
She kicks her foot toward him as he enters the house with her father. With her hands on the hips of her red dress, Kate struts across stage and sits down at a tavern table.
I hate men.
She slams down a tankard.
I can't abide them even now and then. Than ever marry one of them, I'd rest a maiden rather. For husbands are a boring lot and only give you bother. Of course, I'm awfully glad that mother deigned to marry father. But I hate men. Of all the types I've ever met with in our democracy, I hate the most the athlete with his manner bold and brassy. He may have hair upon his chest, but sister, so has Lassie. Oh, I hate men.
She bangs the metal cup against the table. With the tankard in hand, she slightly lifts the material of her dress and curtsies while rolling her eyes.
I hate men. They should be kept like piggies in a pen. Don't wed a traveling salesman, though a tempting Tom he may be. For on your wedding night, he may be off to far Arabia. While he's away in Mandalay, 'tis thee who'll have the baby. Oh, I hate men. If thou shouldst wed a businessman, be wary, oh, be wary. He'll tell you he's detained in town on business necessary. His business is the business with his pretty secretary. Oh, I hate men.
She winds up with her arm and hammers the table with the cup. Again, Kate curtsies and gracefully waves the tankard low, then sits in a chair and slouches at the table.
I hate men.
She swipes dishes off the table.
I will not play the hen. If you espouse an older man through girlish optimism, he'll always stay at home at night and make no criticism. Though you may call it love, the doctors call it rheumatism.
She kicks over a stool and throws a chair.
I hate men. From all I've read alone in bed, from A to Z about them. Since love is blind, then from the mind all womankind should rout them. But ladies, you must answer to, what would we do without them? Still I hate men.
Kate knocks the table over and snaps a canopy pole with the tankard. A tapestry overhead flaps down, dropping dust into the air. Kate gracefully strolls before the conductor. She curtsies, rises, and throws the tankard directly at us. Now, Baptista's door opens.
Catherine, Catherine, wonder of wonders. A gentleman from Verona desires you in marriage.
Then he best go back there.
Kate pushes away from her father and storms up some stairs. Lucentio shrugs and leaves as Baptista sinks onto a stoop. Petruchio approaches the sullen father.
Greetings, good sir. I hear you have a daughter called Catherine, fair and virtuous.
I have a daughter, sir, called Catherine.
I am a gentleman from Verona, sir, that hearing of her beauty and her wit, her affability and bashful modesty, her wondrous qualities and mild behavior... mild behavior, am bold to make myself a forward guest within your house, to make mine eye the witness of that report which I so oft have heard.
I'm afraid my daughter Catherine is not for your turn. The more my grief.
I see you do not mean to part with her.
Mistake me not.
Or else you like not of my company.
You're more than welcome.
Well then, what dowry shall I have with her to wife?
Baptista looks around, then holds up his hand.
After my death, one half of my land.
The fertile part.
So be it.
And in possession.
Baptista leans close.
20,000 crowns.
30.
The father steps away, shaking his head. Petruchio gets up to leave.
30.
Father.
They bounce bellies as they embrace.
Let specialities be therefore drawn between us, that covenants may be kept on either hand. Go, get thee to a notary.
Baptista runs off jubilantly.
Aye, when that special thing is well obtained, that is my love, for that is all in all.
Kate glares down from the balcony.
Of all the men alive, I never yet beheld that special face which I could fancy more than any other.
Were thine that special face, the face which fills my dreaming? Were thine the river? Were thine the arms so warm, so tender, were thine the kiss divine, were thine the love for me.
Holding the bouquet of roses and violets, she partially slips the card out from her dress and winks at Fred. Below, with his back to the audience, Fred frowns as he sings. He shakes his head at Lily. Lily kisses the card. Lily opens the card.
My darling, let my lovely Lois.
It was not to her liking.
Petruchio looks at Baptista.
But that is nothing. For I tell you, Father, I am as peremptory as she proud-minded. And where two raging fires meet together, they do consume the thing that feeds their fury. I will attend her here and woo her with some spirit when she comes. If she bids me pack, I'll give her thanks.
I bid thee pack.
What's the matter, Fred?
Smiling, Petruchio pats his friend's belly.
Were thine that special face.
She chucks the bouquet at him.
Well, what have we here? Some flowers from my daughter.
Grazie, signor.
Talk, talk. Speak, Petruchio, speak.
Speak, Petruchio, though thy message is not for me.
Kate tears up the card.
You louse!
Good morrow, Kate.
We're on stage now, Lily.
Good morrow, Kate, for that's your name, I hear.
Well, have you heard, but somewhat hard of hearing. They call me Catherine that do speak of me.
She drop kicks the bouquet.
You lie in faith, for you are called Plain Kate and Bonnie Kate and sometimes Kate the Cursed. But Kate, the prettiest Kate in Christendom.
hearing thy mildness praised in every town.
She elbows his stomach.
Spoke of, and thy beauty sounded myself and moved to woo thee for my wife. Come, sit on me.
Asses are made to bear, and so are you.
Women are made to bear, and so are you.
No such jade as bear you, if me you mean.
Kate bites his hand.
Come, you wasp of faith, you are too angry.
If I be too waspish, best beware my skin.
She elbows him.
My remedy, then, is to pluck it out.
Aye, if the fool could find it where it lies.
Who knows not where a wasp does wear his sting in his tail? I swear I'll cuff you if you strike again.
Keep on acting the way you're doing, Miss Vanessa, and I'll give you the paddling of your life and on stage.
You wouldn't dare.
No?
If you strike me, you're no gentleman. What is your crest, a coxcomb?
She sticks out her tongue.
Cock, so Kate will be my hen.
Come, give me thy hands.
She swings at him. Petruchio grabs her by the arms.
I will marry you, for by this light, whereby I see thy beauty that doth make me like thee well, thou must be married to no man but me, for I am he am born to tame you, Kate, and bring you from a wild Kate to a Kate conformable as other household Kates.
Father, you devil.
Signor Petruchio, how speed you with my daughter? But well, it were impossible I should speed amiss. We have breed so well together that upon Sunday is the wedding day. May God give you joy. 'Tis a match.
Amen, say we.
Father and wife, and gentlemen, adieu. I will unto Venice.
Kate kicks him.
Good morning, you lily, to buy apparel against the wedding day. Sunday comes apace, and we will have rings and things in fine array. And kiss me, Kate.
She slaps him. As she prances away, Petruchio grabs her.
You ask for it, and you're going
to get it. What are you doing?
With Kate slung over his knee, Petruchio repeatedly slaps her bottom. As the chorus members sing with puzzled looks on their faces, Fred spanks Lily in rhythm with the song. The curtains close.
You'll never lay hands on me, Frederick Graham.
You ask for it. May I remind you, Miss Vanessa, the name of this piece is The Taming of the Shrew, not He Who Gets Slapped.
Sending my wedding bouquet to that little tramp.
That's no excuse for ad-libbing, none.
Let my lovely Lois shine through Bianca tonight, and there'll be a new star in the heavens. Thou jerk!
All right, all right. I sent the child some flowers. I sent a card with the flowers. May I remind you that I'm free, male, and 31?
31.
All right, so I'm 32. What's my age got to do with it? They were full, rich years, and I'm proud of them. Show me an actor who's done what I've done. My Peer Gynt in London.
They threw crumpets at you.
My Hamlet in Dublin.
You got paid in potatoes. Mash.
Fred droops.
Money, money, that's all you ever think of. The trouble with you, Miss Vanessa, is you have no soul. What's the idea of jabbing the ribs out there?
It's in the script.
The devil it is. I couldn't teach you manners as a wife, but by heavens, I'll teach you manners as an actress.
Not in this production, you won't.
What did you say?
You heard me. And here's a little something that isn't in the script.
Fred rubs his cheek.
What are you trying to do? Kill me? Ralph! Ralph!
He passes Suzanne.
Oh, Cusho!
Ralph! There's the law against attempted murder.
He looks down at his hand.
Good heavens, I'm bleeding.
Yes, Mr. Graham.
Quick, give me some alcohol.
How do you want it?
Oh, my rib. I think she's broken a rib. How can you tell if you have a broken rib?
X-ray.
Oh. Well, don't just stand there. Look in the prop room. Am I bleeding heavily?
He tilts his cheek toward Ralph.
I don't see any blood.
Yeah, what do you call that?
Ralph wipes his hand.
Suntan number two.
Huh? No. No. Skin's bruised, though, isn't it?
I don't see anything.
Discolored?
Nope, not a thing.
What?
As Fred glares at him, Ralph shakes his head.
That's all I need. A blind stage manager.
Fred storms off.
All right, kids, let's get with it. We got a quick change. Come on, John, Mary.
Bill, you've simply got to tell Mr. Graham signing somebody else's name is perjury.
Honey, you don't understand.
Hogan's boys play rough. I could wind up with a broken leg.
Yeah, well, at least I know where you were at nights. Bill Calhoun, you go in there and tell Fred right now, or you can find yourself another piggy bank.
Lois marches off.
Suzanne! Suzanne! Where is that ice bag?
Lily's on the phone.
Hello, Tex? Tex? Lily? Tex, I'll marry you tonight. Send a car for me. No, better still, send an ambulance. You don't know what that beast has done to me. I can't sit down.
Suzanne lifts an ice bag to Lily's head.
That is not where it hurts. I'm through with the theater. I want to go where no one will ever find me. I'll go to Texas. Well, I'm quitting right now.
Suzanne opens the door. Fred topples in.
It was Lily. Your ex-husband just hopped in.
Suzanne, pack my things.
You don't think that you can walk out of a show in the middle of a performance?
Oh, no?
I'll have you up in charges of equity.
I'll be glad. Glad you appear before equity. And I'll bring photographs of what you've done to me. In Technicolor.
And I'll bring my x-rays.
Tex says you ought to be lynched.
Oh.
Suzanne, unzip me.
Fred steps forward.
Really, you don't really mean that you would.
Suzanne nods.
Oh, you would, hmm?
You bet I would.
You'll never play the theater again.
Oh, no? Well, I hate the theater. And I hate actors.
Yeah.
And most of all, I hate you.
As she picks up a perfume bottle, he darts out.
Get out!
Bill approaches Fred.
Now, this was your dressing room.
Ralph! Ralph!
Mr. Graham, there's something I want to tell you.
Well, what is it? Ralph!
Well, this afternoon when I went to the chiropodist, I didn't.
He's not only blind, he's deaf.
Seems I was a little game down at the hotel.
Ralph arrives.
Lost money. Yes?
Quick, get the understudy ready.
For who, you?
No, Lily. She refuses to go on.
I was troubled with a short, so I signed an IOU.
Okay, I'll break the news to Jeannie.
Seems I signed your name.
Yeah, good, fine. Tell her to take a promo.
Fine? You mean you don't care? Why, gee, Mr. Graham, thanks.
Lord.
If I'd have known you were such a great guy, I never would have...
Fred sees Suzanne.
You don't. If she's leaving, she's leaving on an empty stomach.
Fred takes the lunch tray.
Thanks, Mr. Graham.
All right.
He halts outside his dressing room.
You signed my name? Why, you...
Inside, Slug gives Lippy a manicure. The gangsters spot the lunch tray.
Hey, for us? Wow. Oh, you shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. Hey, what a performance.
Oh, what unction, buddy. You think the audience is digging it?
No, they're a bunch of lowbrows.
Now, look here.
Yeah, we're just here to see if you jostled your memory yet.
Lippy snatches a celery stalk.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Mr. Graham, listen, we gotta know when you're gonna pay your debt of honor to one of America's most respected floating crab games.
Look. I told you, I never signed anything. What's more, I can prove it.
Fred darts to the door, freezes, and slowly turns. He eyes the thugs devouring Lily's meal, then sits facing them.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did sign that IOU.
He remembers! It all comes back to him.
The trouble is, I haven't got the money. I would have at the end of the week, if the show could only run.
It'll run. It's entertaining, vivacious, and calculated to please the most discriminating theater goer. You can quote me, chicken.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry. Seniority, you know.
Lippy grabs the drumstick.
You don't understand. Miss Finessi, my co-star, is quitting.
Lippy freezes.
Quitting?
As of right now.
He stares.
Temperament. Didn't like the way I played a little scene. She's dressing to leave the theater. Well, I guess all I can do is return whatever money there is in the box office, that's all.
Lippy faces Slug.
Maybe we should talk to her.
Lois breezes in.
Fred, sweetie, I simply had to come. Oh, excuse me.
Sorry.
Come on, this lady, go right ahead. She's a couple of friends of the family.
On Lily's side.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for being so wonderful about Bill.
Fred pushes Lois toward the door.
Oh, honey, forget about it. Hey, it was nothing.
Nothing? Why, it was absolutely noble of you. After all, he did sign your...
Fred grabs Lois and kisses her passionately.
And to be so understanding after doing such a horrible thing like signing your...
He kisses her. Slug and Lippy stare. Lois snuggles Fred.
I always knew you were a fine person, but it took really a great man to forgive another man for signing his...
Fred kisses Lois, dipping her. As Lippy jumps up, Bill enters. Lily rushes in.
Fred, I...
He drops Lois on Slug's lap.
So,
Bill!
Lily and Bill storm out.
You understand?
Lily eyes the thugs.
I was just saying thank you.
She leaves.
How do you suppose she says you're welcome?
Hey, is that the little lady's gonna take a powder?
Yes.
We gotta dissuade her.
Fred enters Lily's dressing room.
You're wasting your breath. I'm leaving.
Some very ardent admirers of yours. Come in, gentlemen.
He beckons the thugs into Lily's room.
How do you do?
What a trooper.
What a personality. Allow me.
Slug takes Suzanne's lint brush.
Is it true, Miss Vanessa, you're contemplating quitting this high-type entertainment?
I am.
Slug brushes her.
Careful.
Well, Miss Vanessa, the show must go on.
Yeah. There's no business like show business.
Lily moves away.
We've got a financial interest in the success of this opus, Miss Vanessa.
Oh?
Therefore, we would like you to finish out the show tonight and at least till the end of the week when Mr. Grant can pay off his debt of honor.
Yeah.
Honor? He doesn't even know the meaning of the word.
Fred shows the thugs Kate's blue gown.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Her costume for the wedding scene.
Oh, hey, we'd like to see you model this.
I'm sorry, my understudy will be well.
Lippy aims a gun.
It'll look better on you, especially with your coloring.
Are you threatening me?
Oh, just transferring away from this side.
He pockets
over
it.
This side.
Yeah, the bullets get kind of heavy.
Yeah. Shall we just step behind the screen and try it on?
Fred?
We'd be glad to help you zip it up, baby.
Lippy stops Slug from going behind a dressing screen.
Fred, don't just stand there. Do something. Do something.
Gentlemen, this is an outrage.
Fred folds his arms and leans against the door jamb. Slug grins. Now on stage, two men costumed as pages step onto the apron with arms spread wide. Backing toward the wings, they follow the opening curtain. Lights come up on a set depicting a 16th century Italian cathedral. Festively dressed citizens of Padua gather at its front steps, and doves flutter out from under the arches of its facade. Two flower girls lead a procession coming out, followed by Lucentio and Bianca. Gremio and Hortensio each escort a young woman. Baptista rushes out exhausted and leans against a pillar. Pertuccio follows and slaps the man's stout paunch. Holding a bullwhip, he faces the doorway.
Come, my bonnie Kate. I said come.
As he cracks the whip at us, Kate approaches wearing her wedding gown. Carrying its train, Slug and Lippy wear striped tights, tunics, wigs, and feathered hats. Slug staggers as he gawks at the audience. Baptista grabs Petruccio.
Fred.
He points to the clumsy attendants.
I see puzzlement upon thy good faces. Who are these two angelic sprites who bear my lady's train? They are distant relatives from Pisa.
What's a sprite?
Some kind of fairy.
Oh, yeah.
Obey the bride, you that attend her. Go to the feast and revel in Dominaire.
The attendants trip and stumble behind Kate.
We must not lose our heads, buddy.
Carouse full measure. Be mad, be merry, or go hang yourselves. But for my bonny Kate.
As Kate runs, he stomps on her gown.
She must with me. I will be master of what is mine own.
As Kate runs, Slug and Lippy block her path.
My anything. Touch her whoever dares. I'll bring mine action on the proudest he that dares to stop.
As she runs, he lashes her with his whip.
Bring forth my noble steed.
The donkey enters, saddled with flowers.
Most patient, sweet, and virtuous of wives, thou must not soil thy dainty feet. Thou shall ride, and I will walk beside thee.
You louse, you know I can't sit down.
She tries to run.
She resists. And I shall cart her to the nuptial chamber like a sack of flour going to the mill.
He tosses her over the garlanded donkey, and the clumsy attendants rush to help him. As the guests wave, Lippy leads the donkey, and Slug holds Kate belly down on its back. All four step onto the moving walkway.
I came and wived its wealthily in Padua.
Slug trips, and the conveyor belt carries him away.
My wife has a bag of gold.
He lifts her head.
Bag isn't very old.
She swings. As Kate slides off the donkey and runs, Slug wrestles her onto its back.
Get back on there.
Arriving at a spacious palazzo, Petruccio steps through an archway and doffs his cape. As Kate enters, Lippy tends to the donkey.
What's no man at my door to hold my stirrup or to take my horse?
Beside a table, he lashes the air.
I mean these names.
He pounds on the table.
Where's Nathaniel?
Here, sir.
Gregory.
Here, sir.
Two pages enter.
You logger-headed and unpolished grooms. What, no attendance?
Kneeling, they recoil.
No regard, no duty!
Petruccio throws them his cape. As the servants hustle off, Petruccio approaches Slug and Lippy.
Kind strangers, thou angels in disguise, who didst help me in my hour of need,
'Twere well you rested from your travels in yon chamber.
He points to a door. As Slug goes to follow, Lippy pulls him back.
Get ye hence. Go to, go to.
Now to flee or not to flee, that is the question.
Yeah, we wouldst not think of leaving thou.
Yeah, going away is such sweet sorrow.
Grinning, he pushes the two men behind a flat. As he strides downstage, they walk out and sit on a bench facing him. Petruchio frowns, then moves a folding screen in front of them. Petruchio pounds on the table.
Food, food, food!
Sit down, Kate.
Thou knowest full well that I cannot.
Well, then stand and be merry. Some water here.
As he sits, Kate eases herself into a chair.
Will you give thanks, sweet Kate, or else shall I?
As the servants enter with a platter of meat, Kate reaches for some.
What's this? Mutton?
Aye.
He takes it from her.
Who brought it?
Aye.
Tis burnt. And so is all the meat.
What dogs are these? Where is the rascal cook?
Kate grabs sausages.
How durst you villains bring it from the dresser and serve it thus to me that love it not? Here, take it away, treacher.
Cowering, the servants tip over the screen. Lippy and Slug play cards.
Zen.
As the servants fumble to right the screen, Kate stuffs the sausage links into the bodice of her low-cut gown. Clasping her hands over her chest, she eyes Petruchio imploringly.
I pray you, husband, be not so disquiet. The meat was well, if you were so contented.
I tell thee, Kate, 'twas burnt and dried away, and I expressly am forbid to touch it, for it engenders cholera.
He slides the links from her cleavage.
And better it were that both of us did fast, since of ourselves are choleric, than feed it with such over-roasted flesh.
He tosses the meat.
Did you marry me to famish me?
Oh, tomorrow shall we eat, my honey love, when we return unto thy father's house. Oh.
He swats her rump. She grabs some meat from Slug.
Come, I will bring thee to thy bridal chamber.
He escorts Kate to the doorway.
You louse.
Attend thy mistress.
Kate exits. Off stage, Slug keeps his eye on her as she climbs a stairway to a landing behind a window on the stage set. As she throws her leg over its railing, Lippy runs up below. On stage, Petruchio removes his doublet.
Thus have I politically begun my reign, and 'tis my hope to end it successfully.
He sits beside a fruit bowl.
My falcon now is sharp and passing empty. Until she stoops, she must not be full gorged.
He grabs a banana and eyes it.
She eat no meat today, nor none shall eat. Last night she slept not, nor tonight she shall not. As with the meat, some undeserved fault I'll find about the making of the bed. And here I'll fling the pillow, there the bolster, this way the coverlet, and another way the sheets, aye. And amid this hurry, I intend that all is done in reverent care of her.
He taps the banana against his nose.
This is a way to kill a wife with kindness. And thus I'll curb her mad and headstrong humor. He that knows better how to tame a shrew, now let him speak.
He points the banana at us.
'Tis charity to shew.
Grinning, he tosses the banana toward us, then saunters toward the master bedchamber and knocks on the door.
Hey!
He puts his back to it, stretches his arms, and raps with his elbows.
Bye, Bonnie, Kate.
He listens, frowns at the closed door, then twists the knob. It's locked.
I will stop, Kate!
Petruchio backs away with a thoughtful frown, then faces the audience, arms akimbo.
If faith, the woman shot her bolt. She has performed while I did act the dolt.
He folds his arms and paces a runway.
When at first, aware of masculinity, I began to finger feminine curls, I became the toast of my vicinity, for I always had a multitude of girls.
The runway extends into the audience.
Now that a married man at last am I.
He sits on a brick ledge.
How aware of my dear departed host am I? Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where is it gone? Gone with the wind. A married life is just a pain, and raising an heir could never compare with raising a bit of cane. So I repeat what first I said, where is the life that lit on?
As he pats his heart, Petruccio feels his shirt front. He takes out a little black book and reads.
In dear Milano, where are you, Momo? Still selling those pictures of the scriptures in the Duomo.
He turns a page.
And Carolina, where are you, Lina? Still peddling your pizza in the streets of Taormina. And in Firenze, where are you, Alice? Still there in your pretty, itty, pitty, pitty palace. And sweet Lucretia, so young and gay. What scandalous doings in the ruins of Pompeii? Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where is it gone? Gone with the wind. The marriage game is quite all right. Yes, during the day it's easy to play, but oh, what a bore at night. So I repeat what first I said. Where is the life that lit on? Where is Rebecca, my Becky Wecchio? Could still she be cruising that amusing Ponte Vecchio?
He eyes the book.
Where is Fedora, the wild virago? It's lucky I missed her gangster sister from Chicago. Where is Venezia, who loved to chat so? Could still she be drinking in her stinking pink palazzo? And lovely Lisa, where are you, Lisa? You gave a new meaning to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where is it gone? Gone with the wind. I've often been told of nuptial bliss, but what do you do? A quarter to two with only a shrew to kiss. So I repeat what first I said. Where is the life that lit on?
Grinning, he bows to the audience on both sides, then walks off stage, glancing back at the crowd. In the wings, Ralph grabs his arm.
There's a madman outside with an ambulance. He insists on seeing you.
Sorry, so does my audience.
He takes another bow.
Where's my little girl? Where's Lily?
Ralph faces a paramedic and a man wearing a Stetson.
Shh, please. There's a show on. He'll be right with you.
Fred leaves Slug and Lippy on stage with Kate.
Keep an eye on her.
The rancher approaches Fred.
Why, you ought to be taught and fed.
Quick, get Jeannie ready.
Where I come from, the man don't strike a woman.
She hit me first?
That's a lie. Why, that little girl wouldn't hurt a fly.
If you'd care to step over here, you'll see the little girl in action.
From the wings, they watch Kate swing a plant like a bola.
What's she doing on that loading chute?
Winding up.
On stage, the thugs take cover under the banquet table. Kate hurls the terracotta pot at them. They scurry backstage.
But I don't get it. How come she asked me to bring an ambulance?
Fred takes him aside.
My dear Tex, you don't understand the artistic temperament. You've been spending too much time with your cows. She may even say to you tonight, darling, I'm playing the show under duress. Call the FBI.
A very efficient organization.
Yeah, we know them personally.
Why would you want the FBI?
Why would she want an ambulance?
As the curtain closes, Tex heads off. Fred faces Ralph.
I dropped the impression. Jimmy.
Lois straightens her stockings.
Come on, kids, let's go. You're on. Come on.
Lois, Bill, and the suitors hurry on stage. As they dance in front of the backdrop, Lily hugs Tex behind it.
Oh, Tex, thank heavens you're here. Quick, call the FBI.
The FBI,
Tex looks to Fred, who shrugs.
Oh, now, look, honey, I don't mind bringing an ambulance and a stretcher, but Mr. Hoo is a pretty busy man.
But you don't understand. These thugs are threatening me.
What thugs?
These two. They're making me play at the point of a gun.
I thought they were actors.
They're gangsters, I tell you. They won't let me leave the theater.
Are you referring to two of the most promising graduates of the Abbey Players? Not to mention Civic Repertory, the Theater Guild, and others.
And he's in cahoots with them.
She leads Tex upstairs.
They sure look like actors.
They're not actors, I tell you.
Lily, you ought to be ashamed, dragging this poor boy away from the stockyards just for a whim.
Whim? Whim? I'll show him my bruises.
You can't. You're not married yet.
We will be as soon as we get back to Texas.
Slug and Lippy follow them to the dressing rooms.
Tex, Angel, I keep telling you, I cannot get out of the theater.
Why not?
Those two apes won't let me.
Of course she can leave the theater, can't she, boys?
Well, yeah, she would, but she can't.
Lily runs into her room. Tex follows, slamming the door in Fred's face. Fred opens it, goes in, and slams the door on Lippy. As Suzanne approaches, Lippy slams the door on Slug. Slug enters, slamming the door on Suzanne.
All right. Go ahead if that's what you want.
Suzanne bumps Slug.
Theater to hold you. It's all so tawdry, the dreary business of creating a part and meaningless applause. Silly pictures in the papers. Those boring parties and the ridiculous people who stare and whisper, there goes Lily Vanessi, huh?
I never want to see the theater again, or you again.
Lily throws her veil.
You're right, Lily. You're absolutely right. Get out while you still have a chance for happiness. Real happiness with this fine boy here.
Thanks, friend.
You're welcome, partner.
Fred and Tex shake hands.
I must say I envy you, Lily.
Me?
The life that you lead with Tex. So different from the one you had with me.
I'll see to that.
No quarrels, no bickering.
I want peace.
And you shall have it. Peace, quiet, solitude.
Oh, we've got plenty of that. Why, you can ride for nigh on to 2 weeks and see nary a soul.
But just think, you can spend all day in the saddle.
Oh, that's right.
I'm mad about horses.
And eventually you'll stop falling off.
Oh, she'll love the roundup.
Oh, and the cattle branding. Why, I can see it now. Up at 5 and in the saddle. The dew is on the sage. A brisk 50-mile canter to the branding corrals.
Oh, that's right.
Steer roped and waiting.
Slug listens and smiles.
Branding irons are sizzling.
Yeah.
You take one from the fire, and you hand it to the little woman.
Yeah, I do.
Slug weakens at the knees and sits.
She grabs the struggling critter. She grits her teeth, and the steam hisses.
The gangster's face grows sad.
The red-hot metal comes closer and closer. She grinds it into their shrinking hides.
Slug squirms.
And the smell of burning flesh fills the air.
Oh, I can't stand.
Slug collapses.
I think he swooned, hey?
Lily takes a pitcher of water from her makeup table and pours it over Slug's head. He sputters and spews it out of his mouth toward Lippy. Straddling a chair, Fred frowns.
Now get out of here. Take your branding irons with you. Go on, get out, all of you.
The men leave. Paramedics wait outside the door.
Ralph! Where's Jean?
Just put her down very gently, sir. You'll be all right, madam.
There's been a slight misunderstanding. Here's a little something for your trouble.
Thank you, sir.
As Tex and the thugs follow the paramedics downstairs to the backstage area, Lois leans on the banquet table and adjusts one of her tap shoes. Looking up, she spots the men and her eyes widen.
Tex!
He stops and tips his hat.
Tex Calloway!
Howdy, ma'am.
Imagine meeting you here.
Well, hey.
Oh, well, don't you remember me, sweetie?
She turns around, showing all angles.
No, I...
At the Shamrock in Houston.
Bill spots them.
Oh, I got something in my eye, and you took me all the way to El Paso to take it out.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but I'm afraid you made a mistake.
You know, I still have that side of beef you gave me. I think of you every time I look in the freezer.
I'm sorry, lady, but you must have the wrong man.
Wrong man? My foot. I never forget a wealthy face.
Trying to annex Texas, huh?
Thank you. Excuse me.
No.
Both men leave. Lois glances at Tex, then follows Bill.
Wait a minute. I can explain. Come back.
They exit into the alley.
Oh, Bill, how could you? What a terrible thing to say. What a girl is good-hearted and normal and tries to get along with her fellow man.
Why can't you behave? Oh, why can't you behave?
Tell me, how can you be jealous when you know, baby, I'm your slave? I'm just mad for you, and I'll always be. But naturally, when a custom-tailored bet asks me out for something wet, when the bet begins to pet, I shout hooray. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
There's a lush from Baltimore who is rich but such a bore.
When the boar falls on the floor, I let him lay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
What about that Mr. Thorne? Calls you up from night till morn.
Mr. Thorne once cornered corn, and that ain't hay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
Saw you out with Mr. Fritz. You were dining at the Ritz.
Mr. Fritz invented Schlitz, and Schlitz must pay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. I could never curl my lip at a dazzling diamond clip.
Suppose the clip means let her rip.
I'd not say nay.
Oh, you're always true to me, darling, in your fashion.
Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
Mr. Harris Plutocrat wants to give your cheek a pat.
If the Harris pat means a Paris hat, baby. Oh, my life is sweet, toujours petite, darling, in my fashion. She's just sweet, toujours petite, darling, in my way. Mr. Gable?
You mean Clark?
Wants me on his boat to park. If the Gable boat means a sable coat.
I know. Anchors away!
As Bill dances, a sailor jumps down from a fire escape stairway.
But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you.
All right, kids, you better get ready.
As Lois follows Bill past the stage doorman, she drops her scarf. The sailor picks it up. Inside.
Bill! Bill, sweetie!
Tex nods toward the doorman.
Say, Pop.
He pulls out some cash.
You tell Miss Vanessa I'll wait for her on the buckboard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, no, thanks.
Lippy's on a payphone.
Hello, Gumpy. Yeah, I would like to converse with Mr. Hogan. He's in conference. With who? Muggsy Higgins. You mean the big boss from the south side? What are they talking about? The north side.
He's probably trying to muscle in.
Mr. Hogan wouldn't stand for it.
No.
Well, look, it's very important I should speak to Mr. Hogan. He's tied up to a chair. Well, can you give him a message?
He hangs up.
He already got one.
For Mr. Hogan.
Fred arrives.
Well, so long, Mr. Graham. I guess this is the end of our very, very pleasant association.
Yeah, like I said before, Mr. Graham, going away is such sweet sorrow.
What do you mean? The debt is canceled, and so is Mr. Hogan. His unidentified remains will be found floating in the river tomorrow, except for the fact that he'll be slightly weighted down with cement.
Rest his soul.
Lily and Suzanne approach from the stairway.
Why, Miss Vanessa?
We wish to say farewell to you, Miss Vanessa.
You are free to go. You do not have to finish the show.
Oh?
That's right. You can fly to Texas and marry that jerk.
It's been a very delightful experience, ma'am.
We will not forget you soon, Miss Vanessa.
Slug kisses her hand.
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
Lippy slaps the phone and digs into the coin return.
How do you like that? A slug?
Yeah.
Slug heads for the door.
I think we better step out of these longies.
Oh, yeah. Muggsy Higgins might get the wrong impression.
As the thugs walk off, Suzanne heads out the door. Lily starts to follow her, then turns and faces her ex-husband.
Goodbye, Fred. Will you wish me luck?
She extends her hand.
It won't work, Lily. You belong in the theater. We both do.
The theater. That's all you care about. You don't need me. You've got an understudy.
No one could ever take your place, Lily. On stage or off.
You read those lines very well.
If I do, it's because I mean with all my heart.
Now, what script did you steal that from, hmm?
It was a good script, Lily. About two people who fell in love and were married. It should have had a longer run.
Maybe it was bad casting.
No. The leading lady was great. It was the leading man. He just wasn't big enough for the role.
As they stand facing each other, Suzanne returns.
Mademoiselle Lily, Mr. Calloway is waiting.
She nods toward the door, then heads back out. Breaking her gaze, Lily follows. Fred walks after them.
Lily!
In the alley, Suzanne shuts the actress inside the left front passenger seat of a luxury car, then climbs into the back. An oversized pair of bull's horns decorates the roof. As Tex drives the two women off, Fred watches from the door stoop. He takes a few steps down the alley, then stops. The thugs step out behind him, putting on their jackets and hats. Slug points toward the actor who sits on a crate.
He's depressed. His doll took a powder.
It's a dirty shame.
Yeah.
She's got breeding and culture.
She was a real classy broad.
He pops a cigarette in Fred's mouth.
Well, cheer up. You still got your hair.
Yeah, and you still got your career, Mr. Graham. Just remember what the immortal bard once said. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. Unquote. So remember this.
The girls today in society go for classical poetry. So to win their hearts, you must quote with these Aeschylus and Euripides. But the poet of them all, who will stardom simply raven, is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare. Start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow. Just to claim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a heck of a fella. If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what pony told Cleopatra. And if still to be shocked she pretends well, just remind her that all's well that ends well. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
Lippy does an Irish soft shoe, and Slug joins him. Lippy pauses, crossing one leg in front of the other, and taps his cohort's shoulder. Slug keeps dancing as Lippy joins in again. The mustache thug kicks one leg forward, then the other back. Slug's movements mimic his, then grow increasingly more exaggerated. Lippy taps his shoulder again. Slug takes off his hat and watches his friend do another shuffle. He puts his hat back on and continues his routine, kicking furiously. Noticing Lippy's sour look, he stops and watches his companion's polished moves.
All right!
They extend their hands daintily.
Brush up your Shakespeare. Start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will bow.
If your girl is a Washington Heights dream,
treat the kid to a midsummer's night dream.
If she fights when her clothes you are mussing,
what a clothes much ado about nothing.
If she says your behavior is heinous,
kick her right in the
Coriolanus.
Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
They dance in unison, kicking up their heels to either side. Slug marches close behind his partner as they step in front of Fred, who sits in a chair.
And they'll all kowtow.
Think stow.
And they'll all kowtow.
I trow.
And they'll all kowtow.
Bastion.
Gentlemen, thou art divine.
Prithee.
Finale, Mr. Graham.
All right. Well, we see you, boys.
Yeah.
Fred heads inside.
Take good care of yourself.
Say good luck. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Good luck to you, too.
What a swell guy, huh?
Yeah.
Brush up your Shakespeare. Start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare. And the women you will wow.
Going into another dance, they kick out one leg, then lunge on the other. They turn toward the fire escape stairway and bow courteously to each other. In unison, they run halfway up, then spin to face the other way. They jump down one step at a time. Skipping down the alley, they kick up their heels and glance back over their shoulders at us.
Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all
They disappear behind a corner. Back in the auditorium, two page boys pull back the curtains, revealing the cast members frozen in place. As the lights come up, their actions begin.
My dear Bianca and her newfound spouse.
In costumes, as Bianca and Lucentio, Lois and Bill appear on a balcony overlooking the townspeople. The newlyweds kiss. Bianca tosses out her flower bouquet, then heads down a staircase.
Peace for the best. And welcome to my house.
As the townspeople disperse, Gremio dips Bianca and kisses her. Hortensio lowers her further to his knee and does the same. Lucentio arrives and pulls his new bride away. They sit on a bench facing the jilted suitors.
From this moment on, you for me, dear.
Only two for tea, dear.
From this moment on, from this happy day, no more blue songs,
only hoop-de-doo songs.
From this moment on,
for you've got the love I need so much,
got the skin I love to touch,
got the arms to hold me tight,
got the sweet lips to kiss me goodnight.
From this moment on, every care is gone from this moment on.
As Lucentio and Bianca dance off, Gremio and Hortensio march past two seated women. The suitors spin around in unison and watch the women dance up a short flight of stairs, their skirts twirling. The women leap into the suitors' arms. Hortensio and Gremio carry them upstage, then dance with them. Hortensio's partner wears a peach-colored dress and Gremio's a yellow one. As they all exit through an arched colonnade, Lucentio swings out from the top of one arch and Bianca gracefully walks out below. Lucentio twirls his bride with one hand, then lowers her into a dip. As they lightly dance across the stage, Lucentio does a turn in the air past a gray pillar. Lucentio drops to one knee as Bianca tap dances. Then he springs up into a pirouette. They each twirl, then join hands. Spinning into the air, they perform a series of grand jetés to the colonnade, then twirl out. Gremio and his partner sidestep on stage. Looking toward us, they perform a synchronized tap routine, then turn on their heels and move downstage. As they sidle off, the dancer in the peach dress enters with a high kick. Hortensio slides out on his knees. The two dancers snap their fingers, then spin to one knee. Rising, they slink forward in a hunched walk. Hortensio glances at his partner, then motions to her, rolling his head. The dancers rush to the pillar in a jazzy crouch. Hortensio jumps on its base. Standing on one foot, he lets his body slump toward his partner below him. Their torsos twitch with the beat. Hortensio jumps down onto one knee in front of his partner, who crawls on her side. He spins behind her and pulls her to her feet. They dance in a broad circle, then freeze. Holding their heads tilted to one side, they step with the beat. The woman woman swivels her hip toward Hortensio, who backflips onto his knees, his arms outstretched. As his partner heads off stage, he follows through the colonnade. Now the three female dancers alternate with the men as they flit in and out through the archways. The suitors dance their partners out toward center stage, circle them, then kick off of the arched columns, landing on their knees at the women's feet. The women twirl into their respective partners, who pull them back to the colonnade. Waving their fingers, the dancers disappear off stage through the archways. The suitors step out and bow. Their partners do the same, then drag them off. Across the stage, Petruccio passes in front of Baptista's home. His father-in-law approaches.
Signor Petruccio, my daughter Catherine.
Baptista looks around.
Where is Catherine?
Where is she?
By now she should be flying over Newark.
Where is the maiden? Sirrah, go you to Mistress Catherine and tell her I command her to come to me.
His servant runs off.
I know she will not come. The fouler fortune mine and there an end. Genie's going on.
As Baptista motions upstage, he glances at Petruccio.
Now, my holy dame, where is my daughter?
Rubbing his portly belly, he glances at Petruccio again. Fred marches to one of the wings and approaches Ralph.
Where's Jeannie?
I don't know. She was dressed. I'll find her.
Ralph hurries off.
What is your will, sir, that you send for me?
Fred's jaw drops. He strolls back on stage. Lily approaches, costumed as Kate.
What is thy will, sir?
She kneels demurely in front of her husband, pressing her palms together. The townspeople gather around.
That's your cue, Fred.
His back to the audience, Petruccio holds his arms akimbo.
Catherine, I charge thee, tell these headstrong women what duties they owe their lords and husbands.
As Kate rises, the lights dim and a spotlight shines down on her. She folds her arms.
I am ashamed that women are so simple to offer war where they should kneel for peace, or seek to rule supremacy and sway when they are bound to serve love.
She looks to Petruccio.
And obey. Why are our bodies soft and weak and smooth, unapt to toil and trouble in the world, but that our soft conditions and our hearts should well agree with our external parts? So hold your temper, wives, and meekly put your hand beneath your lord and husband's foot, in token of which duty, if he please.
She kneels.
My hand is ready.
She holds out her hand, palm up.
Ready may it do him ease.
Petruccio eyes her with a furrowed brow. As Kate mouths the words, O Freddy, his expression softens.
Lily.
As he takes her hand, the lights come up. He removes his hat.
Why, there's a wench. Come on and kiss me, Kate.
They kiss. He picks her up.
Kiss me, Kate.
Carol.
And twice and thrice.
Carissima.
Every star.
Bello.
Living in paradise.
Bellissima.
Oh, kiss me, Kate.
Carissima.
Come, Kate, and wheel to bed.
She waves his little black book.
Ha, 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 ha. A pox upon the life that late I led.
She tosses it away, and the suitors fight for it. As the curtains close, an image of Lily and Fred sits superimposed over the auditorium. The costumed actors kiss. Now words appear. The end. Kiss Me, Kate. Made in Hollywood, USA by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast. Catherine Grayson as Lily Vanessi, Catherine. Howard Keel as Fred Graham, Petruccio. Ann Miller as Lois Lane, Bianca. Keenan Wynn as Lippy. Bobby Vann as Gremio. Tommy Rawl as Bill Calhoun, Lucentio. James Whitmore as Slug, Kurt Kasner as Baptista, Bob Fosse as Hortensio, Ron Randall as Colt Porter, Willard Parker as Tex Calloway, Dave O'Brien as Ralph, Claude Alistair as Paul, Ann Cody as Suzanne, and others.